Hear that last line?
Yes.
I will sow the seed. I will sow the seed that I have been given by Christ. How many of y'all been given something in Jesus that's worthy to share?
Amen.
You know it's worthy to share already. All right? Are we on, Mark? We're on. Everybody good today? Everybody ready to have church? How many of y'all have already had church? You got ready and you're here. God's doing something big. Let's go to Thessalonians chapter 4. We're in the fourth chapter. Next Sunday we'll end our journey through 1 Thessalonians, this short letter that kind of gives us some heads up. How in the world do we live out this gospel? What is important? What is important to Jesus? Now you've heard this for sure in Thessalonians. Love and faith, and faith and love. You hear how they play off of each other. If you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then what happens? Your love for your fellow human being increases. The more love you have for the things of God, the more faith you have, and the more you're able to live out your faith. And so love and faith are key ingredients to move us as children of God. Don't replace those two key ingredients with anything else. And we have a habit of doing that. Instead of loving people, we're just going to be nice to them. Instead of really having faith, we replace faith. Well, I got lucky. No, you didn't. God blesses faithfulness. Do you hear me? God blesses what? Faithfulness. And I want to relieve you today. How many of you are waiting to do something big for God? Pastor Jamie, I hear this all the time, don't you? People come in my office and they say, Pastor, God's called me to do something big. I have some great mission. I hate to disappoint you, and I don't want to humble you too bad this morning, but I just want you to know that God has already done something big in you. He has saved you from your sins. He has repositioned you in the moment where you are headed to heaven. And basically, here's what God wants. He just wants you to live out what He's doing. Now, you know why we want to do something big? How honest do y'all want to get? We won't be recognized. It's interesting, a more seasoned lady in the front said, well, we just won't be recognized. Well, we all want to be recognized. That's a part of life, is to be recognized. But I want to relieve some of you. You know who makes Hillview Heights Church happen? It's not the names that you see glance the bulletins. It's not the names that you hear at the church. It's the everyday believer that stays faithful to what God's called them to do. And you're going to be so surprised. Those are the ones you're going to see when you get to eternity that kept everything on track. It's the folks that received the seed of Jesus Christ, the grace of God, and they sowed it daily in what God called them to do. That's a full and abundant life. So the first thing I want you to know is that God's already done a big work in you. He's freed you of your sin. You no longer have to operate out of a sinful condition. You can operate out of a healed condition. You can operate out of a forgiven condition. You have a new life. So you operate out of the new life now. That's big. How many of y'all understand? Go ahead and tell your neighbor. That is big. Tell them. Come on, so they'll know. That is big. Because I hear people, they go like this all the time. They go, well, I've been saved, but I need more. This confuses me. What more is there than eternity? What more is there than that God loves you? What more is there than all of your sin is forgiven? What more is there than you are destined to heaven? Now, I got a hunch we don't know how to live out what we've been given. And I don't know about you all, but I tend to do this. When I can't control what I got going on, I create something new. Have y'all ever done that? And I always want to do something new. And I always want, how many of you all have started hundreds of projects and finished none of them? Now, here's what God calls us to do. Finish. God's not looking for you to do a lot. He's looking for you to do what He's called you to do.
Amen.
And I think we have a whole lot of anxiety because we all want to do something fantastic instead of just live out what has fantastically happened to us. And I want to show you, Paul grabbed this. Now, I want you to understand, you will never know the fullness of God until you're willing to be a humble human being. Humility is required for faithfulness and love. Not am I recognized, but God, can you be seen in who I am? Y'all know the downside of this calling is you have to do a lot of funerals. That's the downside of this calling. It's tough. And you know, when you do a funeral, one of the most marvelous things you can say is, here's a man or here's a woman. They love their family. They love the people they surrounded, and they lived out their life in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that really what matters when it gets down bottom line? Did you realize that people don't remember great people very long? Haven't y'all noticed that? It's kind of disappointing, isn't it? I mean, you thought the whole company depended on you, and soon as you retire, they got a young buck, and his name's louder than your name. It's tough! And we were so important! I keep our staff remindful of this all the time. I said, if you want to know how long everybody will remember you at Hillview Heights, if you'll stick your hand in a 5-gallon bucket, and then when you remove it, about as long as it takes the water to smooth out, it's about as long as you'll be remembered. But let me tell you what. They'll remember what God did in you. We're cool, isn't it, Nathan? They'll remember what God did in you. Nathan, I still remember the things that God did in you when you were an adolescent. And I don't remember all the shenanigans you pulled, but I remember the things, you're probably glad I don't, but I remember the things that God did in you. How many of y'all realize God's doing something in you? You're not doing it in you, but God's doing it in you. So let's look at living out the faith is not so much, what do I got to do? I'm going to give you a new concept, but what do I need to release? That makes sense? What do I need to release out of my life? If I got the love of God in my life, where is that being released? If I got the peace of God in my life, where is that being released? If I can bless somebody else, how am I releasing that? Where am I releasing that? Does this kind of calm y'all down a little bit that you don't have to be a hero for Jesus? Jesus is the hero. So you need to be a follower of the hero. How many of y'all are just glad to be a part? There ought to be a happiness. I kid around all the time and I said, listen, if God gives me a pup tent in heaven, I'm cool. I'll live in the campground of heaven. I'd rather be there than a mansion in hell, wouldn't you? If I get in, he says, you need to sleep in your truck. I say, hey, that's fine. I'm just a part. And sometimes we need to be excited about being a part. Because if every one of us is just doing what we're supposed to do, that's when a vibration of great things happens. And you know what? A lot of times when everybody's just doing what God's supposed to do, there's not a lot of noise. It just gets done. That's what I really pray for. For all my life, I've had all these people tell me there's a great revival coming. A great revival coming. I mean, Lord have mercy, 20 years ago I heard there's going to be an outpouring that shakes all the stadiums. I got to reading the Bible and God just doesn't move like that. You know, Don, why we want all that? We want spiritual noise. And Jesus didn't come to make noise. He came to give life. And we want noise. Wow, that was a great event. Well, so? We have the greatest event of all. Jesus is risen from the dead. Now, there's the historic event. And because of his resurrection, none of us will ever be the same. And we get to live it out. Now look at First Thessalonians chapter 4, and I'm going to start in verse 9. Now at the first part of the fourth chapter, he's encouraging these people. He says, now I want you to live out, as you were doing, your faith in Jesus Christ. And he said, you're doing a wonderful job at it, but I want you to do it more and more. Look at that first verse. He says, more and more. Pastors, don't worry. I'm just touching more and more, and I'm going right to the text. We're going to preach, okay? More and more. Now, so that ought to be a rhythm. More and more. Let me ask you a question. Can you love more in this coming week than you did last week? Is that possible? Well, Jack, is that possible? And you've been loving a long time, but do you still have some more? You got a little left. Why? It's not yours. Check this out. Do you realize you have an endless supply of love in your life waiting to get out? Amen. Because when you were saved and you received, do you hear that word? You hear the word of the song. You received what? Love. And the love of God has a rhythm to it. It likes to get into people and then what? Get out of people. So really this church ought to be a get in, get out. If you've hung around here for a while, you see that. We even have people that get in, then what do? They get out. And some of them get out in some real positive ways. They go and love other places. They go to other countries. The love of God so fills them up, they want somebody else to, ready, get this, get it. I want you to get Jesus. I want you to receive Jesus. I want you to be loved by Jesus. I want you to have this life in Jesus. And then he says, watch your life. He says, he notes this. He said, flee from sexual immorality. The first part of the letter. Here's why. Those who didn't believe in God were totally consumed by the lust of the flesh. Has anything changed today? Absolutely nothing's changed today because human beings haven't changed. We're all sinners in the need of grace. Note. In passionate lust. Now, church, here's what we got to do. We got to do this. This is a got to do. We got to allow the Holy Spirit to detach us from our passionate lust. How many of y'all got some passionate lust? Now, let me help you. Anytime I say the word lust, we've always made it sexual. The church has so defined lust sexual, we can't see there's all kinds of lust. Most of us don't. Watch this. Sexual lust is not the top in America. Lust of recognition is the number one lust in America. I don't know, maybe that show about 20 years ago, Fame, messed us up. You know, it came on Saturday evening. Fame. We all want to have our moment of what? Glory. We all want to have our 15 minutes. And have you noticed, people will do stinking, rotten things for 15 minutes. They might even fly a helium balloon 9,000 feet up, bring it down, and think you have, I mean, I don't know. How many of y'all get tickled at America? I don't know. I think we're into some things right now. We got a couple of war conflicts going on. We got some serious economic things going on. And we spend 3 days in the news on a silver helium balloon that was supposed to have a six-year-old in it who didn't have a six-year-old because the six-year-old hid in the attic. That's about as far as I could go in that story because I was having childhood flashbacks. Now, if I'd have been that child, I would have been hid in the attic. The reason I'd have been hid in the attic, because I'd have been the child that cut the ties to the balloon to see how high it was going to go. And then at about 1,000 feet, I would have had this deep realization, it's not coming back. And then I would have had a realization, that's Daddy's balloon. What's the best place to go? Into your prayer attic and pray till you hear your name called. And even ignore it for a few hours as you're hearing it. Yeah. We want to be recognized. And here's what God says, live. I want you to see how important this is. Go with me to verse 9. He tells this community of faith, these early believers, these people who know that Jesus has forgiven them of their sins, they're living out their faith just like you and I. Now about brotherly love, we do not need to write you. He said, we don't need to write you and tell you about brotherly love because you're loving. Hillview, I can tell you this. If there's one thing that's made this church happen, we do our best to try to love one another no matter what, don't we? How many of y'all agree? I don't know about y'all, when I come to Hillview, I get around you all, get around the Spirit of God. I'm at God's stock, or I'm on a mission trip, or I'm out, you know, changing some old loving folk. We're out doing things at holiday season. When we're out and about together, I feel the love of God. When I see you out in the community, I get a smile on my face because I know I love that person because they're going to the same place I am. We're going to heaven together. The love of God, even when we have to go through difficult, painful things in life. You know, if I was Paul and I was writing to this congregation, I could say, about brotherly love, I do not have to write you other than this. Don't ever let that become secondary. Eric, my observation with young theologians in this new movement, their love of doctrine is greater than their love for Christ. You know how I can tell that? It's not by what they say, but it's how they treat people. It's how they treat people. See, if you love something other than Jesus, note this, you will be in a secondary life. If you love, do you get that? That's very powerful. When you love something other than Jesus, you're in a secondary life. You're living a secondary dimension. Your primary dimension of living is the love that Jesus has put in you, which forgives us of our sins, which required Jesus to die and us to repent, so that the love of God might flow. Anytime we're loving something other than Jesus, we're in a secondary position of life. The greatest of these is
love.
Is the Bible true?
Yes.
The greatest is to love Jesus. Y'all have heard this? Love covers a what? Not just a few sins, a multitude of sins. People will stay with you. They'll live with you. They'll work with you if you know they and that you what? Love them. How many of y'all love people you disagree with? Boy, I do. I love a lot of people that I disagree with because I disagree with a lot of people because I'm honored. But I love them. In fact, I got a few friends I just get with because I want to argue that day. I'm in a mood to argue and I just get with them because I know we're going to get in an argument about something. But guess what? Here's the neat thing I have in mature Christians, that you can have a dialogue of disagreement and walk away and be on the same team. Now, you'll only meet a very few people like that that have reached that level, that the love of God and the love of the brothers and the sisters is primary and everything else is secondary. It takes a long time to get there. You say, Pastor, are you there yet? No, but I'm better than I was. Better than I was. How many of y'all are better than you were? How many of y'all getting better? How many of y'all think you might be better next Sunday than you are this Sunday? Go ahead and forecast it. That's good. Just keep working on it. Look what he said. Now, I want to show you how to live. I get to preach this text, not often, but occasionally, by folks that just get it done. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you'll know who they are. Now about brotherly love, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. So who teaches us to love each other? God. So when we become open to the teachings of God, what's going to be one of the evidence? What is some of the evidence that we've been taught by God?
Loving people.
We love others. Y'all understand that's important?
Yes.
You understand you can jump up in the air, speak in tongues, do double flips, have prophecies, see angels, do all this stuff. But if you don't love your fellow human beings, you have missed the cause of Jesus. No matter how spiritually poofy you want to be. I don't know about you, but I'd rather have a human being that knows how to love another human being like Jesus loved another human being than somebody can quote me the Bible backwards or win at Bible trivia. I want somebody that knows how to put this stuff to work, to love. God taught them how to love. But now know what he says. He said, I'm going to push you. I'm going to push you. And in fact, you do love all the brothers throughout Macedonia. He's complimenting them. He said, you got it going on. Then look what he says. Yet we urge you, brothers, to do so more and more. More and more. More and more. Now, I could preach a long time on more and more, but I'm not. But I do want to bring it up. How many of you all have more and more in your attitude with Jesus? If we could get a Jesus attitude of more and more like we do with money, the world would be saved. We do that with money, don't we? You make some, and then what do you say after you make some? And then after you make some more, what do you say? And then what after you make some more of that? But what about after that? There can never be a what? I wonder why we don't do that with God. God, I went to worship this Sunday and I experienced this. But I tell you what, God, I'm going to put myself even that much more next Sunday into worship and see what I experience. And God, I've been praying, you know, 5 minutes a day. I'm going to see what 10 minutes a day is like. And Lord, I tell you what, I've been singing some songs throughout the week. And I think it's the ones I hear at church. You must be getting into me and coming out of me. But I want more and more. God, and I tell you what, I like old Joe and Jill and Jack and Susie and Shaquanda and Charita and Jose and Barukabak and all. All of these people that we live in Bowling Green, our lives have many names. I haven't met Barukabak yet, but I'm sure he's coming, okay? Look at this. There's no way I could be a public school teacher. I could never spell the names that are in existence today. You know, especially when you get to those syllabic names. I just call them S-H-T-L, you know, as a. But you know what? They just laugh because they know I what? Love them. More and more. What would happen to a church that agreed on more and more? And Hillview, I do want to encourage you and I do want to thank you. And it looks like to me in Scripture when a group of people do a good job, that those who lead the church don't ignore that, but they say, look, yes, God is moving. You are loving the brethren and you love them throughout Macedonia. But I want to urge you. I want to encourage you. I want to say thank you for a good job. More and more. More and more. What?
More and more.
I write this down somewhere. I'll never love enough. I'll never love enough. Love's one of those things that you're just not going to reach a plateau and you say, okay, I am now the queen of love. I am now the king of love. I am now loving so much that I can't love anymore. Because you know what? I really do believe that love is a process. Don't you all? I mean, I have to be honest about this. I love Elizabeth more now than I did when we started. And I think, Elizabeth, don't you love me more now than you did? Huh? If not, just go ahead and go along with my illustration here, okay? In other words, the more we dwell with each other, the more that we love each other. I love my kids. I love Clacy more now than I did in the beginning because she screamed every time during the beginning. She was a baby, and then I got to know her, and I watched her grow, and I watched what God's doing, and more. And if God grants me the favor to be an old man, I will love you more. More and what?
More.
Now, because of more and more, we can live this life. I want you to just hear these principles. Here's what I want you to know. What the world calls average, God uses in extraordinary ways. It's okay to love people, go about your job, not be a zillionaire, never be on TV, never win prizes. Just live your life. I mean, that's okay. Look at your neighbor and say, it's okay. It's okay. You're important. Look, I am saving you on medication right now. This is part of the health care reform right here. Right here live at Hillview. One of the reasons we're so anxious, one of the reasons we're all hepped up on those anxiety pills, it's one of the reasons, there's many, but one of the reasons is we're never satisfied with who God made us to be. We're always wanting to be something we're not. I'm okay with being just, guess what? I'm okay. I am Pastor Steve Ayers. I pastor in Bowling Green, Kentucky. I don't pastor in L.A. I don't pastor in Alabama. I don't pastor in California. I don't have cool little glasses and sit on a stool and have notes all over the stage. I am who God made me to be, and that's all I can be. And I'm going to be really honest with you. You can only be the person God made you to be. And somewhere down the line, you just got to get all right with that. I preach and say words backwards. I write letters and spell in funny ways. I can rant and rave, but I still love you. You got to know who you are. I'm filled with the grace of God and working through the flaws of my humanity. That's called life. And look what Paul said. You know, Paul was pretty cool because he didn't read his resume as much as he did his weakness. I mean, here's the great apostle. He didn't say, I'm a great apostle, so great, everybody ought to listen to me. He said, I've been touched by the grace of God. And Mark, he said he was the king of sinners. He said, I've sinned so much, I can only move in the grace of God. I can only write to you in the grace of God. I can only live in the grace of God. It's only by the grace of God I say these things to you. He said, as far as my resume, you would be impressed with it. But I consider it all rubbish for the sake of knowing who? Jesus Christ. God was his primary source of definition. Now look, because of that, you ready? Look at verse 11. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. Here's what I want you to know. A quiet life is all right with God. Because you know what? You ready for this, Jim Britt? A quiet life becomes noisy. You understand the paradox? When I live out a quiet life in Christ, doing what God asked me to do, affecting the people that surround me, loving the brothers and sisters more and more, a quiet, committed life to Christ becomes loud. And it loudly proclaims who?
Jesus.
Jesus. You think about the people you know that you consider spiritual. Are they loud and proud? Or are they quiet and consistent? My father is one of the most spiritual men I've been privileged to encounter here on this earth. Spiritual. He's not religious at all. He's spiritual. I watched him influence people in the ways of Christ, the principles of truth. He called his children to understand the gospel of God. He never put bumper stickers on his car. He never had a big Bible on his desk that said, "I love Jesus." He wasn't playing, you know, symphonic Jesus anthems in the back of his office. You know what he did? When he practiced law, he did it with integrity, fairness, and diligence. Guess what that provided? When I grew up and started going all over the state, I'd preach revivals all over the state, and people would go, "Do you know a guy in Bowling Green named Reginald Ayers?" I said, "I'm acquainted with that brother." They said, "What's your acquaintance?" I said, "Believe it or not, I am his son." They go, "You're kidding me." I said, "No, sir, I'm telling you the truth." You know what they say? They say, "Your daddy's the real deal." I had a case back in 1964. I had a case back in 1972 and da, 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 da. I'm telling you, integrity walks. Even in the age of plastic phonies, integrity walks. And I appreciate you older generation. I don't know why we didn't catch on, but you all tended to live with a lot of integrity. My generation, we don't have integrity at all. That's just the truth. The majority of my generation, we don't have integrity. We like you if you got something. And if you don't have something, we're moving on to the next folk. How many of y'all found it? Come on, you got to get... See, y'all don't like it when I say this, but you got to repent to get saved. And the generation behind me, they got one cause. What's in it for me? If I got something for me, I'm going to do it. We can do it in church. Well, if I got something in it for me, I even hear this at Hillview. Well, how's it going to bless me? I have no idea. It may not bless you at all. You may just be serving. See, to really be released, to live a quiet life. You know what that means to do? To encourage others, to love others. Dr. Cox, your primary responsibility is three women. And if you don't think that's going to take Jesus Christ Almighty, you have become clueless in your young age. You got a wife and you got two daughters. One of the chief responsibilities is to make sure they know the cause of Christ. How many of you notice this? If we would take care of our children, there'd be a better world. Amen. Kathy, Coach Cox, your all's job would have been a lot easier if everybody had followed this next principle. Now, y'all are going to be shocked. Some of you need to come to the altar because you never realized this was in the Bible. It's actually in the Bible. If you're a bumper sticker person, you ought to put this on your car. But it'd convict you too much, probably. You ready? By the way, what am I reading out of? Who wrote this book? Is it true? Do you believe what it says? All right, you just made a confession. I do too. This is in the Bible. You ready? Make it your ambition to lead a what kind of life? A quiet life. You ready? To mind your own business. It's in the Bible. How many of you, one of your number one problems is you can't mind your business? Now hold on, follow me here for a minute before you get mad at me. See, those of you that are mad at me, it's because you and everybody else's business all the time. If you comfortable with this, it's because you're taking care of your business. But hold on. What if, dream with me for just a moment, if we took care of our business, tell me what would happen to the world. See, we want to spend multi-billion dollars to solve a problem that's right in front of our face. You know what? If the mother and father takes care of their children, that's their business, then we don't have a society running awry. One of the reasons we have all these problems, there's no daddies in the house. When kids aren't raised by moms and dads, they shoot each other in Chicago. They were all alarmed. They called in all these politicians to figure out why kids were shooting each other in Chicago. Well, number one reason, they don't have any parents. I don't have to spend $1 billion to figure out why God designed it like He designed it. You know why some of them don't have parents? Because they're in love with everything else. You know why some others don't have parents? Because they're in love. Watch this. You know what we're in love with? Well, I'm going to preach. Our personal happiness. And I'm just going to tell anybody, if you haven't had children yet, you don't have a child till you get over your personal happiness. Because if you have a child, one of the things that that child is going to do is interrupt your personal happiness on a constant basis. They start as soon as you get them. You're ready to be sound asleep at 3 o'clock. I mean, they could cry at 6, but now, when did they cry? David Jones, you love it so much, you're doing it again. When do they cry? All the time. And if you're expecting to have your first child and just continue this beautiful life of romance, a child knows when you're in the mood. It's the dangest thing I've ever seen in my life. They can plot it. And they never quit. Even when they go to college, they can sense it, and they hadn't called you in 6 months, and that's when they call and want to have an hour-long conversation. Y'all know what I'm talking about in this room. So hold on. They're interrupting our personal what? Happiness. But when I come to Christ, it's not about me being happy, but it's about God being revealed. Mind to your business. Mind your own business. And that doesn't mean just stay out of other people's business. It means tend to what God's called you to do. God's called you to be a granny, you be the best granny God's made you to be. If God's called you to be a preacher, you be the best preacher. I got some young preachers in the house. Young preachers, I want God to give you this word. Take care of where you are right now, and God will take you to the next place. I love young preachers. I used to be one. I love young preachers, and here's what I tell them. Quit worrying about where you're going to go and start being faithful where you are. That's mind your own business. Mind your own business. Mind to your own what? Business. How many of y'all mind your business? Now think about it. How many of y'all can talk about other people's business? Woo! Don't we love that? I'd hate to be president of the United States. Wouldn't y'all hate to be president of the United States? I feel sorry for our President Obama and Michelle, everything they do's got to be on the news. You get a dog and it's a national story. Don't you think they'd have loved to just gotten their dog and it just been their dog? And nobody else needed to know what it was named. Guess what it was? Their dog. We even had a crisis because it wasn't a rescue dog. I thought, this nation has gone nuts. We live with 325 million other human beings in America, and everybody wants to be in everybody else's what? Business. What's that show? TMZ, is that it, that thing that comes on? Y'all know what I'm talking about? They will at 11. 11 o'clock service, you know what I'm talking about. And it's a TV show, and all they do is follow around celebrities and get in their business. Gossip. How many of y'all like to gossip? Come on, how many of y'all kind of like it? Come on, I know you're from Kentucky. You know how we do it in Kentucky. I ain't talking about anybody. But, how many of y'all have heard that more than once in your life here in Kentucky? TC, you've been out on the West Coast and come back to Kentucky. You ever heard that in Kentucky? Especially up there, you know, where you were. I ain't talking about nobody. But, Gertie, they say, but I heard. How many of y'all have ever heard that? Come on, come on! All right, how many of y'all have ever done that? I'm from Kentucky. I said, now, I don't want to talk bad about this guy, but let me tell you what they did. Did you know? Or this one. Now, I'm not sure about this, but I heard. Well, who'd you hear it from? How many of y'all know that most of the stuff y'all hear people from and hear from are not intelligent individuals? And so watch this. You get a person that's not extremely intelligent and they start it and pass it to other people who are not intelligent. By the time it gets to you, it's a mess. What would happen if we just minded our own business? Watch this. What you say, well, these principles are so simple, Ayers. Why don't you give me some good, complex, real tough stuff? Watch this. What if we'd have minded to our business and everybody had made their house payment? Tell me about our economy. Well, it gets quiet when I say stuff like that. I heard for 25 years of my ministry, no jobs in America. And then I watched 25 million people that can't speak English find one. Explain that. Yeah, it gets quite quick when I tell the truth, doesn't it? So here's what we say. I don't want to do that, and I don't want to do that, and I don't want to do that, and I don't want to do that. But what kind of degree do you have? I don't have one. But I should be able to run this company even if I am ill-prepared. Because I what? Deserve it. Who told you that? Who got up in your head and lied to you and told you that you had a right to what everybody else has for doing nothing? Who's whispered that in your ear? You didn't get it out of the Bible. There's no way you can love it because Jesus gives what Paul said. Mind your own what? Live in your own what? Business. Take care of your business. So I'm going to ask you today, what is your business you need to take care of this week? I hope some of it's sharing the Christ. I hope it's living out Christ. I hope it's making sure that people come to know Christ. Work hard with your hands, just as you were told. Work is important. Now, I'm not going to preach a lot on that. You all know my theory on that, don't you? Listen, I'm going to be honest. I know it's tough to find a job right now. If you can't find a job right now, ask God how you can create one. There might be a company inside of you that hadn't gotten out yet. Hard times bring out blessings if you let the hardness squeeze what's good out of you. So young people, don't be disappointed. I'm going to tell you what they told me. My father always told me, he said, no matter what they tell you, like if a profession is too crowded, there's always room for a good one. There's always room for one that's going to be the best. Strive for that. Make sense? I just want to give you a little bit because, listen, I know all week long you're going to hear the world's falling apart. There's no hope anymore. We need to spend another $50 trillion so the world might be saved. Well, unfortunately, I wish I'd never done this. No offense to you educators, but I've read history. And I can't find one historical moment where humans saved themselves yet. It's just a big circle. Mind your own business. God saved you. Mind to what He's doing in you, what He wants to do in you. Work hard with what you've been assigned to. And now watch this. And that's not just with your hands, but with your mind. Whatever your assignment is, work hard with it. Now why? Why do we need to work hard? So that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders. Now Christians, I have a theory. You know why people don't want to hear about our Jesus? They've seen our lives. You want to see your pastor go in outrage. Use your Christianity as an excuse for being halfway. You'll see my little ears twitch back and my nose get more crooked than it is and veins come up in my forehead. There is nothing that stokes my fires worse than anything, hearing somebody use the name of Jesus to excuse themselves for their personal laziness. Because God didn't call you to be lazy. He called you to work hard with what you've been given. He didn't say He's going to make you rich. He said He'd provide for your needs. You'd be taken care of. I promise you will. But you got to step in and make some effort. I just want you to know that these principles that I fire off with don't come out of the top of my head. They come out of the pages of Scripture. Work in such a way that your life would win The respect of what? Outsiders. Watch this, and here's what I want you to know. If you tell everybody what to do and you do nothing, they already know that. Do you know that? You all know the people you work with that really work, and you know the people that just get by, and it happens in every profession whatsoever. It really does. I always get teased all the time. People ask me, they say, what's it like to work one day a week? I said, I don't know. When I do that, I'll let you know. Yeah, but you know what? You know why they get that image? A lot of my colleagues work one day a week, if that. They prance around in Wonderland in the name of Jesus. It's real simple. Why isn't the church making a difference today? That's because a lot of times we don't want to work at it. You know what's going to pay that building off over there? Yes, the Lord God Almighty. Yes, He's going to do that in the Holy Spirit. And I understand that. But now let's ask another question. How does He do that? Through the diligent work of His people. Isn't that cool? How many of y'all realize that God's blessed some of your work that you've made a lot of things possible here in ministry? God knows how the system works. Isn't that cool? Work hard. Keith, I always call you when my air conditioner stuff blows up because why? What do I know? You fix it. Now, he doesn't do it for free, and I don't give him a Bible verse at the end of the, or pray over him. I write him a check, because he's what? He's working. And that is what, Keith? That's what? Spiritual. Work hard with your hands, with your life, with your capabilities so that your daily lives may win the respect of outsiders. Now, watch this. See what you think about this. And so you will not be dependent on anybody. Why do you need to not be dependent on anybody? By the way, once again, who am I reading out of? Where am I reading out of? Where am I reading out of? What am I reading out of? What principle is that? Who spoke it into humanity? Because when you get dependent on everybody, you become subject to them. So here's my encouragement, church. We need to live in such a way that the world can't live without us. You know what I love about Hillview? We check this every Monday in review. If Hillview did not exist in Bowling Green, Mr. Jim, would there be a difference in Bowling Green? Let me tell you what you're a part of. If Hillview did not exist in Bowling Green, guess what? There'd be some people that wouldn't be fed this week. There'd be some people that couldn't pay their rent this week. There'd be some people that would not hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing this week. Eric, guess what? There'd be some university students that would not be encouraged this week. They'd just be on about whatever. There would be some people whose lives would have never been changed. You know, when God puts you together and puts you together as a group, He calls you to be about something. Amen? Somebody say amen. Amen. Come on, y'all, my working crew. Y'all ought to be jumping up and down on this text. Now, by 11 o'clock, I'm going to get a lot of starry eyes when I start talking about work. Because, Nathan, no offense to your generation, buddy, but guess what I'm going to deal with? The therapy generation. They're all 28 heading into their 30s, and they have been precious babies all of their life. They've done no wrong. Even though they couldn't make the team, they put them on the team. Even though they couldn't make the grades, they went ahead and passed them on. If the teacher ever criticized them, Lord have mercy. Their mothers were campaigning lawsuits, and Jesse and Al were going to put them up on the TV, and then we're going to have the lawyers out in California press charges. You know, that guy that handled the woodsy guy that comes in and gives all his legal analysis, and they've never done anything wrong. No wonder marriages are breaking apart. It is tough to be God's husband or God's wife. Now that's the world we got to minister in today. So you can take two choices. You can step back and just ignore that it exists. That won't work because eventually it gets you. Or you know what you can do? You say, I'm going to love the brothers more and more. I'm going to take care of my business in such a way that people will know Jesus has created my business. I'm going to live with integrity and beyond reproach. I'm going to work hard. This still works. Remember when we used to do business like this? You remember that? Can you imagine doing business like that today? Now I'm making all of our attorneys nervous. Bugsy, did you realize you and I used to could do business? There's only one place today I know personally you can do business like that. Floyd's. I can drive my car up to Floyd's and I go, it's broke. He'll go, it probably is. Then he asked me questions, diagnostic questions. What's it doing? I said, making a squeak when I go about 35 miles an hour. He goes, rrr, 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 rrr. Floyd goes, okay, I know what that is. I said, all right, call me when you're done. You know what he'll do? He'll call you and he'll go, I'm done. Now, here's what's cool about Floyd. When he's done, you drive it out and the squeak is gone. Guess what you call that? Repaired. Fixed. Yeah, that's what I call it too, buddy. I mean, I'm from Kentucky. Floyd fixed it. That's one word. Fixed it. Did we sign a contract? No. We didn't have to because it was two brothers who love more and more, who have integrity and trust and due diligence. And Floyd never looks at me and goes, are you going to pay me? I said, what did it be? There it is. Remember those days? Now, I know it's not popular to hold to the things of Christ in our modern society. We've gone way beyond Jesus. We've got a lot better thinking than we used to have, supposedly. But you know what? That's what this text was. Live out your life in such a way that people will know Jesus has touched it. Amen? I'm finished. Does this make sense? Please tell me it makes sense, y'all. I don't want to be depressed the rest of the day. Jack, this ought to make sense to you. This is a Texas sermon. Now, guys, we're not going to recreate the 50s, and I'm not asking to. We're not going to create the 70s. Why would we? Polyester's got to have some kind of medical effect. We lived it, wore it for a decade. Only if I had one of those suits, if you got next to the heater, you could melt, okay? You had to be careful, especially at First Baptist. They had a boiler out of line. One time I sat back on one and I smelled something burning, and I realized it was me. But you know what? It's about living out this integrity. And listen, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you can't love more and more. It's impossible to love more and more until you receive Jesus. You can't give what you don't have. Does that make sense? Now, Jesus wants to save you. And you can sit here this morning and you can say, you know what, I'm going to go one more week in my sin. Well, why? God has said this. The person who comes and realizes they're a sinner, the person who knows that Jesus has died on the cross, he's for real, he's the Son of God, has risen from the grave. That person who comes and says, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I know I broke all the Ten Commandments. I know I messed up. I know I hadn't done what you've asked me to do. Dear God! Dear God! Lord Jesus, forgive me and come into my life. I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart, but you're for real. And I'm sorry for all the rotten decisions I've made and behaviors I participated in. And the Lord Jesus says, come on, I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to let you know who you are. And Ted, isn't this cool? And I'm going to take you on. I'm going to take you on to heaven. Why would a human being turn away from that? I do not know. Other than this, when you come to Christ, here's the downside. You will no longer be the hero. It'll humble you. So if you want to be a superstar and you want to be recognized and you want to live your 70 or 80 years where everybody knows your name, you have at it. But I want you to know when you die, if your name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life, it will fade forever in nothingness of hell. So Bob, I mean, you're a cool guy, but I could care less if you know my name. There's only one place I want them to have my name. It's not at the Ritz-Carlton. It's not at some fancy restaurant. It's my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I trust that it is. Because there's only one way for that pen to move. Lord Jesus, you know me. I know you died for me. I know I'm a sinner. S. I know that you're a Savior, T. I know that you're the only way, E. I know that you are God and there is only one God and there is only one possibility into heaven, and that is you, the E. A-Y-E-R-S. I got your name, boy. I am your God. If you haven't been baptized, let me ask you a question. If God's going to go to the trouble of saving your sin, don't you think you ought to do what He said do? Doesn't that make human sense? God asked you to be baptized. I'm going to tell you it's important because Jesus made it important. The Scripture wouldn't bring it up if it wasn't important. Be baptized. And then live a life. Doesn't have to be loud. Doesn't have to be fancy. Doesn't have to be recognized by all humanity. But live out what God's called you to do in a loving way. Work hard with what He's assigned you to do. And after it's all said and done, may they know you followed Jesus. Amen. May they know you followed Jesus. Let's stand together. We got time to come. Lord, we thank you for those that are being baptized today from this weekend's ministry. We thank you for those that will come and receive you right now. Lord, we know that you're drawing people. Every Sunday, Father, you're drawing them. Every Wednesday night, every Tuesday, every Monday, every moment you're speaking, God, may we hear you today. So, Lord, as we come forward right now, I just pray a sense that your call on our lives to be felt. And Lord, I thank you for a group of people who are doing very well with their daily lives. And Lord, may our daily lives speak your Bible in the name of Jesus. Amen. Come on, church. We got a few moments here before we go to Bible study at this altar. Come forward. Let's pray for folks. Let's pray for each other. Let's encourage one another. Don't stand back today. Come on. Bring your beautiful family up here and pray with them. Let God just touch you. Start out the week knowing that you're going to do some great things. God's doing great things in you.